Welcome to Pretty Lies and Alibis. Let's seek the truth and travel the long road to justice together. What you know, alibiers, hope you've had a really good Saturday. I've kind of just taken it easy. We had a really long live last night, over 3 hours, where we read testimony from Jake Wagner's time on the stand in the trial against his brother, George Wagner. And one thing I want to make clear, with the exception of maybe 2 minutes in, where Big E said a couple of little offhanded comments, we did not ad-lib that testimony, y'all. That was Jake Wagner's testimony. So we saw people an hour or two in saying, stick to the script. This is ad-lib. It was not ad-lib, I promise you. That's just how he testified. So I'm not sure when we're going to get back to that, really. It's going to be a matter of us figuring out what works schedule-wise for everybody. So I'll keep you posted on that. I plan to take the next day, maybe two, off just to do some things around here I need to do to get ready for Christmas and honestly just kind of rest. So if anything big happens, I'll always hop on and update. But for right now, I think I'm just going to take a couple of me days and chill out. All right. Music fact real quick. All I Want for Christmas was co-written by Mariah Carey in 15 minutes. Also, it's the biggest selling holiday song of all time by a female artist. That song just is very Christmas to me. I don't like Christmas music as a whole. I think it's kind of depressing, but I do like All I Want for Christmas Is You. All right, we have a really happy update for once. Aspen Jeter, a 5-year-old from Orangeburg, South Carolina, she's been missing for over 2 weeks. She was found safe in Danville, Virginia, which is about 260 miles from where she went missing. Her mother, Crystal, was found dead after a welfare check was called in on November 24th by concerned relatives who had not heard from her since November 1st. Her body was found in an advanced stage of decomposition, and she had a gunshot wound. So her ex, Antar Jeter, who's also the father of Aspen, had been living in the residence temporarily while an electrical issue was being fixed in his home. But according to friends and family, Crystal and Antar did not get along. And so Antar and Aspen were tracked down after they were spotted making financial transactions. And later, they were found in a hospital parking lot where he was taken into custody and she was taken into safe custody. He's been charged with murder and grand larceny. I feel like probably maybe some kidnapping charges are going to be tacked on to that. And as we know, little Aspen has special needs. And so the family's attorney, Justin Bamberg, said Aspen will not become a ward of the state. They're going to make sure that she is with family. So it's nice to report a happy ending where the child is found unharmed, and we don't get to do that very often. So it's so sad that her mommy's gone, but nice to hear the family will take care of her. Okay, University of Idaho murders. Not a whole lot today to update. Really, it's graduation weekend there at the University of Idaho. Kaylee would have been graduating today. They did pay tribute to the students at the beginning of the ceremonies. However, I've read several tweets of people there saying that Kaylee was not mentioned in the program, which I think is, I mean, it shouldn't have even been an oversight, y'all. They should have made sure she was set to graduate, and she earned that. So the rumor control, let's get this out of the way. Two things today. The man with the white car that has been circulating online, he was arrested for domestic violence against his wife and his daughter. Also was pictured in his mugshot with a purple bandage on his arm from a knife wound. He is not a suspect. That's over, done, move on. Also, there has been a video circulating from a YouTube personality where there was a fake Daily Mail article about a neighbor hearing screaming and supposedly had a recording of that screaming. It was fabricated, not true, made up. And so just be careful where you get your news from, guys. People will do some clickbait to make a quick buck, but not realize that things like this spread, and it's just not good faith to do. There are nearly 50 FBI agents on the case now. And so Police Chief James Fry said about graduation weekend, with commencement, there will be an influx of people coming in from out of town. The Moscow Police Department and Idaho State Police will provide coverage on campus and in the Moscow area. as always, we want to remind the public to stay vigilant, travel in groups, communicate with family and friends as you travel. He says they're working steady on the investigation still, and they are pushing forward. And I think the FBI and Moscow police and the Idaho State Police must definitely are starting to get their bellies full of the online sleuthing, because they put out an announcement yesterday saying investigators have been monitoring online activity related to this ongoing and active case and are aware of the large amount of rumors and misinformation being shared, as well as harassing and threatening behavior towards potentially involved parties. Anyone engaging in threats or harassment, whether in person, online, or otherwise, needs to understand they could be subjecting themselves to criminal charges. So the Moscow Police Department cautions the public not to rely on rumors and remains committed to keep the public informed. We urge reliance on official channels for accurate information. And an update on the car, the search for the car. Investigators would like to thank the community and the public for recent information provided about the vehicle and the spike in tips. The FBI is prioritizing and vetting those tips for use in the investigation. The public is asked to continue to use the tip line to report any information about the vehicle. So the tip line number is 208-883-7180. Email tipline at ci.moscow.id.us. And digital media can be submitted through fbi.gov/Moscow, Idaho. And it has to be a very bittersweet weekend there in the community with graduation, but also these murders, which will be a month overnight that they happened and unsolved, and a killer is still out there. It has to be just a blanket of heaviness over that town at a time of celebration. So also has to be a very hard day for Kaylee's family as well, knowing instead of looking for her murderer, they should be watching her walk across that stage. So thoughts to all those guys. Now it's time for our paid sponsor of the week, Everly Well. This year, you can prioritize what matters most when you share the gift of health from Everly Well. Choose from at-home lab tests like food sensitivity, women's health, or men's health, or vitamins and supplements, because love and health are all you need. Everly Well is digital healthcare designed for you with personalized results and accessible tools for long-term health. With over 30 at-home lab tests and high-quality vitamins and supplements, you'll be able to find the perfect test for you or your loved one. The women's health, food sensitivity, and celiac disease screening tests are only a few of the options. Here's how it works. Everly Well ships products straight to you or your loved one with everything needed in one package. If you ordered an at-home lab test, the sample can be simply collected at home and shipped back to a certified lab in the prepaid envelope included with the test. Digital physician-reviewed results are sent straight to your preferred device in just days. If you ordered vitamins and supplements, you can start adding them to your daily routine right away. It's so simple. Over 1 million people have trusted Everly Well to support their health and wellness goals, and now you can help your loved ones do the same. I took the food sensitivity test, which measures your body's immune response to 96 foods to help guide you on what types of food to prioritize in a two-part elimination diet. The gift of health has never been so easy to share than it is this holiday. For listeners of Pretty Lies and Alibis, Everly Well is offering a discount of 20% off an at-home lab test at everlywell.com/whattheworld. That's everlywell.com/whattheworld for 20% off your next at-home lab test. That's everlywell.com/whattheworld. Murdaugh, let's move on. He had a motions hearing yesterday. They discussed the blood spatter evidence in that hearing. And as we know, the state outsourced testing on that shirt that Alec wore the night of the murders that had blood spatter on it, which the expert concluded was likely to have the blood of Paul on it. Now, during testing, the shirt was destroyed. Whatever they used to test it turned the shirt black or a really dark color. So when the defense went to have that shirt photographed, they were unable to. So the judge actually ruled in the favor of the defense with this one, saying the state must provide the defense with all communications, including draft reports and presentations tied to the shirt. So hopefully that doesn't get tossed out at some point. That seems to be a pretty critical piece of evidence against Alec at this point, although I'm sure they have more, but still. Can't wait to cover that one. It's towards the end of January, but I'll be doing like Wagner every day. Episode will be on a recap of all the testimony in the courtroom for those of you who can't watch but don't want to miss it. So follow along for that one when it rolls around. They also discussed if Alex's financial crimes can come in as evidence in this murder trial. So the prosecutors are arguing that the crimes are relevant since their theory is that Maggie and Paul were murdered in an effort to distract from the financial crimes that were about to bust wide open. And we know the morning of the murders, the law firm confronted Alex with the missing money from the law firm. And prosecutors said of that, it was a day of reckoning for him, the very day Paul and Maggie were murdered. It allowed him to escape the accountability that was coming for him that he never had to deal with his entire life, and it worked. The defense says that motive makes no sense, asking why he would throw himself into a murder investigation to cover his financial crimes. The judge did not rule on this yet. He did rule, however, that the photo of Alex's grandfather, who served as the 14th Circuit solicitor, will be taken down during that murder trial, so he won't have Grandpa looking over his shoulders. I'm sure maybe that's a relief, because I'm sure Alex has to think, he's looking at me in shame. Look what I've done. So Mike Volva, okay, this case just really bothered me back when it came out. He's a former New York City police officer who forced his son to sleep in a garage with no heat for punishment in their Long Island home. He was found guilty last month and was sentenced 25 to life yesterday. One of the main causes of Thomas's death was hypothermia. The temperatures had dropped to 19 degrees, and Thomas was 8, and he was autistic and had struggles with incontinence. His brother Anthony, who was also autistic, was forced to sleep in the garage with him. They were locked in that garage for 16 hours before hypothermia set in. His death uncovered a history of child abuse in the home, including starvation, beatings, and emotional abuse. The boys wore diapers to school because they weren't allowed to use the restroom in their own home. When Thomas was brought to the hospital, his body temperature was 66 degrees, which possibly indicated that he died earlier than reported. Now, his mother wrote on her Facebook that based on his body temperature, it's estimated Tommy was dead approximately 11 to 22 hours prior to 911 being called, and accuses Angela, who is Mike's fiance or girlfriend, and him of using that time to cover their tracks. So he initially told police his son fell while running to catch the school bus. During his trial, prosecutors pointed the finger at his then fiance Angela, saying that he actually tried to save his son's life. But at his trial, it changed again. And attorneys say he was controlled by his domineering fiance Angela, who despised the boys because they were autistic. They claim it was her idea to make the boys sleep in the garage when they had bathroom accidents, and had done this several times in the past. But text uncovered between the couple show Angela was as much of an aggressor as Mike, where she wrote to him, quote, "I'll beat them up again. Talking doesn't work. Maybe a bloody face will," end quote. Oh my gosh, y'all. Surveillance from their home caught them spraying the boys with a water hose. The camera that was placed in the garage was labeled the kids' room, and the camera, unfortunately and fortunately, caught the final day of Thomas's life. The boys can be seen laying on the cold concrete, shivering with no mattresses, no blankets, no pillows. And the day Thomas actually died, he can be seen what prosecutors call face planting and falling over onto the concrete floor. His dad earlier had taken him to the backyard while he was naked, while the child was naked, and hosed him off with freezing cold water. His brother asked why Thomas is having trouble walking, and Angela can be heard saying, "When you're washed with cold water and it's freezing, you get hypothermia." And later, when asked why Thomas was falling over, Angela said, "Because he's cold, boo-hoo." The two would often make fun of the boys through text messages to each other, where Mike would call his sons, just, I'm not even going to repeat it, y'all. During the trial, jurors did become overwhelmed with emotion from watching the videos from the garage, which just showed these poor boys struggling. When Mike called 911, he told dispatch, "My name is Michael. I'm a police officer with the city of New York. My son, I don't know if he's breathing or not. I don't know if his heart stopped. He fell down on his way to the bus. He banged his head pretty good. I brought him in. I'm doing CPR right now." His attorney said, despite parental deficiencies, Michael did not want Thomas to die. They blame Michael's overwhelming emotional and financial stress from his custody battle with his ex-wife. That's a terrible excuse. A lot of parents have a lot of stress, and 99.9% of us don't do that. Thomas's two older brothers are back with their mother, and she is actually suing the county because over the years, there were dozens of calls to the Department of Social Services about the boys and all the children in that house. She also had, the fiance also had, I believe, three children in that home. And again, it's just a case of slipping through the cracks, and we have a dead kid. Something's got to change, y'all. We need to fund DSS. That needs to be the biggest priority. States are funding. We got to protect babies. All right, last one. Delphi, Richard Allen's attorney, have asked for a close hearing to discuss the public's cost of Allen's representation, including fees for experts, expenses, and fees. The motion said expert fees and expenses, including transcript fees and investigator costs in this case, are necessary in order for Allen to present an adequate defense and be afforded a fair trial. So that's kind of the updates on what we've been following for the last few weeks. I'm keeping an eye on everything else. If anything breaks tomorrow or Monday, I'll definitely hop on and do an episode. But until then, probably see you guys maybe late Monday night or Tuesday, not sure yet. But hope you have a really good rest of your weekend, and we'll see you soon.